Wow, that was great, brother. Oh, praise God for that great song. Amen. And what a great truth. And that song, talks about me when I was away from the Lord and come back to God. Amen. The prodigal son. And I didn't really like eating corn cobs, but I do like corn on a cob. Amen. But praise the Lord. That was wonderful. I appreciate that good song. Appreciate everybody come out tonight. Revival, Monday night revival. And a lot of people, Monday, and I used to work with a guy. He had a cup that said, I'm allergic to Mondays. But this is the day the Lord hath made. Amen. And the first day back to school. And I remember my first day back to school. And I think I played hooky. I'm not sure. But anyways. But that's always kind of exciting, amen? And starting off, just kind of see who's there, who's not, and then figured all that out. But praise the Lord. And revival. Thank God for a church to have revival. And appreciate the opportunity to be here. And there's something about showing up, amen? Showing up. I mean, you may not be the most talented person, but at least we can show up. And I remember when I used to play hockey and we had a game. We had to forfeit a game one time because some guys never showed up. And I hate the word forfeit. And it's almost like a cuss word in my mind. I mean, I just think the word and I want to wash my mouth out with chocolate. But people don't show up. They forfeit the blessings of God. They forfeit God's blessings, God's power on their life when they don't show up. Amen. But praise the Lord, we're here tonight and thank God for the opportunity in a church and a pastor that believes in revival. And I'm going to read some verses out of the book of Exodus and in chapter number 32, Exodus, and then chapter number 32, I'll read down through this passage of Scripture and we'll look at a few thoughts in relation to revival, asking God to do a supernatural work in our hearts. We need churches. America needs revival. America needs to come back to God, and we understand that. Churches need revival. Churches need revival. I mean, old-time revivals, they used to come through the Methodist church and congregational churches and the Presbyterian churches and how far away have people gotten from the things of God? And in America, used to go to church. Amen. And way back in the day, everybody went to church on Sunday. What they called people that didn't go to church on Sunday? Heathen. They call them heathen when you didn't go to church. And boy, I'll tell you what, that's kind of flip-flop today, hadn't it? Call evil good, good evil. And we need revival. And if we're not careful, we'll let that type of philosophy influence our minds and our lives. And our churches and our homes need revival. And our hearts need revival. And revival is for every single person. You be the best Christian in the church, you need revival. Amen. Amen. And the mediocre and the backslidden and the lost, amen. The only hope for a dying world is a revived church. That's the only hope people have. The only hope people have here in Rosemont, Minnesota, is that the First Baptist Church have revival. That's the only hope that we have. Now, I know our hope's in Jesus and all of that, but revival, that's the key. That's the thing that we need to pray and ask God pour out his spirit. I believe God can do it. You believe God can do it tonight? Say amen. Amen. And we believe it. And so we want to make sure that we're following the plan, the precepts of God's holy word in relation to this great spiritual movement of righteousness that needs to take place in society today. And the Bible says here in Exodus chapter 32, And the children of Israel coming out of the promise, coming out of Egypt, out of bondage, God anointed Moses to go in and to lead these people out of this place of wickedness, bondage, Egypt. And it kind of represents the worldly type crowd. Amen. And then 3 days' journey to Mount Sinai, where Moses would receive the commandments of God, and then use them to take them in to the promised land. And that's what they would use in their lives to help them recognize that it was God, amen, that manifested his power and brought them out of that place of wickedness. Amen. And God and the Ten Commandments and how important they are in, you know, places that don't want to see the Ten Commandments put out in the courtyards and in people's yards. And it's too offensive. But, man, they can put out the pornography and the wickedness and all of that. We need revival. Amen. And notice here. They're at the mountain now in verse number 1 of chapter 32. I want you to notice the Bible says there, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, and if there's one thing that upsets people is delay. Amen? We don't like to be delayed, especially when you're at the airport and you're getting ready to get on your flight and all of a sudden it says delayed. It causes some frustration, amen. It causes bitter feelings. People get upset and agitated about the fact when they have to experience a little bit of delay. But the Bible tells us that God is in control of everything. And sometimes a delay may be good. It may be God, amen. And looking out for us, keeping us out of some particular situation that maybe, you know, he doesn't want us involved in. And, you know, I hate the word forfeit. I hate the word quit. And I hate red lights. And I don't like sitting at red lights. And, you know, but there's a reason for the red light. Sometimes we get red lights in our life. We just got to stop. Amen. And the Bible says there that he delayed to come down out of the mount. And the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. As for Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off all the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And Aaron saw it. He built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast unto the Lord. Now they built a golden calf, and now they want to honor the Lord. Who's with me? It's a lot like a lot of people. That's human nature, isn't it? And we go to church on Sunday, and then we live like the devil for the rest of the week. And that's just people today and their human nature. And we build this great big monument to the devil and this golden calf. And now I think we ought to have a feast unto the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And this was all going on while Moses was up there with God. And the Bible said, the Lord said unto Moses, Go get you down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt. Now Moses is the one that brought them out. Amen. I mean, when they're doing bad, Moses brought them out. When they're doing good, it was God that brought them out. Amen. And it sounds like my wife. When the kids are bad, they're my kids. But when they're good, they're her kids, amen. But The Lord said, Moses, go down there. The Lord was upset. The Lord was upset. And, the God of the Bible sometimes gets upset. He gets upset about some things. And that is the God of the Bible. And not the God of Hollywood, amen. Not the God of Joel Osteen. And, this type of religion that they want to preach, and the God is like an old man that sits up in heaven and he just sit there in his rocking chair and really not recognizing things. You hear that all the time. But that's not the God of the Bible. Amen. The God of the Bible gets upset. He gets upset. Righteous. It's called righteous indignation. And the Bible says that he told Moses to go get down, for the people which thou brought out have corrupted. They've corrupted themselves. Oh, what an awful state. What an awful plight. I mean, one of the main reasons why we need revival is because of the corruption. And how people in society have corrupted themselves. Do you see the corruption that's in society today? The wickedness, vile, ungodly, polluted, contaminated, rotten, tainted, corrupted. It's this corruption that led to their destruction. Who's with me? It's this corruption that led to their destruction. And if we as God's people allow this tainted type of spirit manifest itself in our lives, mark it down, we're not going to have the revival. We've got to be willing to allow the Spirit of God to manifest those things in our life so that we can confess them and allow the Holy Spirit to give us the power of God to be able to conquer, amen, overcome those things that the devil wants to use to corrupt our lives, our Christianity, tainted, polluted, rotten type, to destroy, to ruin its moral decay, amen. And that's what we see happening today in society. These people today, the corruption and the wickedness that we see, eventually it's going to lead to destruction. And we see that to be true in the lives of these people that refuse to go into the promised land. And the Bible tells us from 20 years up, that they died in the wilderness because they refused. Their faith was tainted. Their faithfulness was polluted. And as a result, it led to their destruction. How many people today have allowed this corruption to lead to their destruction? We need revival. Satan is out to destroy your life. The devil is out to do everything in his power to destroy your life. That precious life that God has given you to be used for God, your marriage, your ministry. The devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may destroy. And it's that corruption that you allow into your heart, into your minds, into your lives, in your marriages, into your homes. It's eventually going to lead to your destruction. Amen. Lest we determine in our hearts that we're going to deal with these things that God wants us to in the way that the Bible declares. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Who's with me? He that soweth to the flesh, and they that walk in the flesh will allow that polluted, tainted type of spirit to hinder their Christian growth and eventually lead to a life that is destroyed and amounting to nothing for the cause of Christ. Don't sow to the flesh it reaps corruption, but they that sow to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Amen. Oh, listen, a bad attitude, it will eventually lead to destruction. We know alcohol leads to destruction. We know drugs lead to destruction. Who's with me? We know pornography leads to destruction. But what about a lie? What about lying? What about deceitfulness? What about that which is not of faith? The Bible says is sin. Who's with me? Say amen. Oh, this destructive type of spirit that's permeating our churches. I'm not talking about society. I'm talking about our churches. Christian people that have allowed this rottenness to be used by the devil to keep us from having the power and the strength and souls saved and lives changed and the supernatural power of God doing something in our lives. It's that corruption that led to their destruction. And God said they corrupted themselves. Amen. We need to stop pointing the finger at people. We need to stop playing the blame game. We need to stop pointing the buck at other people and pointing fingers, pointing fingers all the time at people. Who's with me? And there's a lot of finger pointing going on. A lot of finger pointing. And we just don't want to take responsibility for our own actions. And as a result, the Bible said they corrupted themselves. Look what it says. They have turned aside quickly out of the way. Who's with me? I mean, a human nature. Oh, listen, we're seeing this passage of Scripture, some definite truths. And we see what led to this destructive type of spirit. And we need to determine in our hearts not to allow these things allow that corruption. And it doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be something huge or something big. Amen. You just don't become all of a sudden one day you're sitting in your chair and you decide to be a bank robber. Who's with me? It started way back yonder when you're little, when you snuck money out of your mama's purse. Say amen right there, even if it kills you. And that's how it happens. I was getting ready tonight for church and getting ready, and I had my glasses down about to see. I put them on, and my ear thing fell out. The ear thing fell away from my glasses. And the little bitty tiny screw fell right down on the sink. So I had it. And I thought, man, I got to get, I can't see. I'm blurred. Everything's blurry. You know, I take my glasses off, and I think I'm drunk. Now to put them back on so I can see straight. And they're trifocals. I have trifocals, you know. It's a plane. No, it's a bird. No, it's a mosquito. And I had that little thing, and my wife could not, she couldn't fix them. And my son said that he couldn't fix them. And she said, I know who can do the job. But the oil maker. But the oil maker couldn't even fix them. And so what I had to do, I had to put tape on them. Isn't that how we treat sin sometimes? Who's with me? But you know, when I put tape on them, and it's not going to last. Eventually, it's going to rip away. I'm going to have to take them to the professional. To the professional. To the eye place where they got all the tools and they got the magnifying glass and they got all those things and they'll know exactly what to do. Listen to me. Just that little bitty tiny, hardly can even see it, screw, who's with me, caused just such a panic. That's what sin does. A little bit of corruption, a little bit of leaven, leaven at the whole lump. It's a little bitty foxes that spoil the vine. Who's with me? And it's that corruption that will eventually lead to our destruction. What led to destruction? Well, you see here in this passage of Scripture, number one, I believe there was a compromise in leadership. There was a compromise in leadership that led to that destruction. Amen. Here God was talking to Moses. And before Moses, I'm sure he said, now, Aaron, you're in charge. You're the man. You're second. You make sure everything stays what's supposed to be. I'm going up there to talk to God. And went up there to talk to God. And all of a sudden, I mean, there's nothing but chaos going on down there around the bottom of Mount Sinai. Why? Because there was a compromise in leadership. Who's with me? And, the people, they got all upset. They got impatient about some things. And because, of all that pressure, all the pressure that they were putting on poor Aaron, putting on that pressure on him. Can you imagine that? All those people upset, getting after Aaron, yelling at him, accusing him. Aaron just finally, he caved. Caved. How many preachers are doing that today, caving to compromise? Who's with me? How many homes are caving to compromise? Because you let your children run the show. And the children put the pressure, put the pressure, put the pressure. I want it. Finally, you cave. And it's that compromising leadership that will eventually lead to destruction. Who's with me? And a compromise. Lee Robertson said, everything rises and falls on leadership. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And I believe a lot of that, a lot of that is true. You hear the saying that you smite the shepherd and will scatter the sheep. Of course, Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew chapter 9, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad. And having sheep having no shepherd. It's leadership that is leading people to destruction. Amen. And you can see it. Read through the Old Testament. And each of those kings that wanted to do right, God bless them. But those kings that set out to do wrong, it led to destruction. Led to destruction. And every single one of us, leadership is influence. Every single one of us have an influence. We cannot cave to the influence of the world when they start putting pressure on you. I was working in a Ford manufacturing plant. We rebuilt Ford motors, and they come down the assembly line, and they would come to me, and I had to air pressure test them for leaks, and I'd put these devices over and block all that out and put in about 70 pounds of pressure. And I had an overhead hoist that I used and lowered it down. And then I'd turn the switch on and look for bubbles. Look for bubbles. Anything would leak. That was my job. That was my area. And sometimes it'd get kind of slow. And I had little 3x5 cards up around my area. And I would read them and study them. I was trying to memorize scripture for school, memorize scripture for my life. And one of the individuals that worked behind in the parts department got upset, went and told the boss that I shouldn't have those things there. And the boss come over to me and said, hey, listen, Murphy, those things are probably a distraction. You better move them. I said, listen, come with me. We went down to the parts store. I said, you see those naked pictures that guy's got hanging up on the wall? When he takes those down, then I'll take down my 3x5 cards of scripture. Amen. I'll take him down. Well, he never took him down, and they never put any more pressure on me, and I was able to study my scripture. We can't cave to the world. As leaders in our homes, in the responsibility we have with our own life, and the husbands and wives, you can't cave to all of the pressure that's coming from all sides. It's the devil that's trying to get that corruption that'll lead to your destruction. There was a compromise in leadership. When I think of leadership, I think of Joshua. Amen. Oh, listen, Joshua, he said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Which your fathers say, on the other side of the flood of the gods of the Ammonites and in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, that's leadership. Yes, he had a personal conviction. As for me, as for me. Yes, it was personal. He had it in his life. He believed it. He wanted to go into the promised land when nobody else but Caleb and him wanted to go. Amen. And can you imagine they didn't go in? And they had to wander with those idiots for 40 years. I would have said, listen, you guys go wander, man. I'm going to wait right here. I'm going to wait till you wander around and get back over here, you know. But they did it. Why? Leadership. He had me and my house. He had it. He had his clue. He had his house. And that's leadership. When you have that conviction, and then you have your home and your children and your wife, and you're serving God together. That's where you're going to get the blessing. That's how you keep the corruption out of your life, out of your house, out of your home, out of your head. Amen. But Aaron compromised. How many preachers are compromising today? There's churches I used to preach in and won't have me back because they've compromised. That church down in St. Paul, the temple, that when they used to have those big meetings, they had those preachers come in. Brother Howes, Brother Rice, and Lee Robertson, and all those men of God come in there and preach. Well, he resigned the church and left. But the other guy come in there, and he had me up there and preached one time. I went up there and preached for him. And after I got done preaching, he said, I think we'd like to schedule revival. I said, okay, let's schedule it. And so we put it down. And 3 days later, he called me and said, I don't think we can have the revival. And I got together with some of the men in my church. We just don't believe the King James Bible the way you believe the King James Bible. That church is gone. That church doesn't exist. Corruption. Corruption. And he allowed that, and it was a compromise in leadership. We've got to recognize how important it is for you and I as leaders. Amen. In our lives, in our homes, Aaron compromised. Then he didn't even want to take responsibility for it. Moses said, Aaron, what in the world happened here, man? He said, well, they took all this gold, they threw it in a pot, and out popped this idol. That's what he said. It's like your kids, you know, who made this mess? I don't know, it was just there. Who's whipping? It was just there. And I don't know who made the mess. A compromise in leadership. That will always lead to destruction. Not just a compromise in leadership, but there was a consumption, of lust. Who's with me? That overwhelming, consuming lust that they had in their hearts rose up to play. They gave in to their sinful lusts, their appetites, their desires, their cravings, their longings, desiring to get involved with things that were forbidden. You lust, you have not, you kill, you desire to have, you cannot obtain. You fight, you war, you have not because you ask not. You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Who's with me? And God allowed me to walk through this verse one time. I prayed and I said, Lord, help me not to get caught speeding. And I took off driving and I was going 80 miles an hour and a cop pulled me over for speeding. You know what that was? Praying amiss upon my own lust. Who's with me? But that's how people act today. Oh, the lustful times of spirits. Then when lust had conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Oh, listen, they gave in to that corruption. They gave in to that polluted type of activity. Oh, they got so wicked, rose up to play. That's all people want to do today is play. Are you with me? Grown men wanting to play. video games and all sorts of different things steal away precious time that can be used to advance the cause of Christ. Oh, listen, that corruption started with this compromise in leadership. It began to snowball into a consumption of lust. You want to have some good leadership and things, you know, that sin's going to get into camp. Amen. It's going to get in there. And it gave into it. Psalmist said, early will I seek thee, my soul thirst for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth I after thee, O God. That should be our desire. That should be what we, our appetites for spiritual things and godly things and Christian things. Amen. We can't allow that because it bringeth forth death. We consume it upon our own lusts and sinful ways. Bible says in Ephesians that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitfulness of lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. Oh, the consumption that they went through and the wickedness that was going on down there. Can you imagine that? I mean, you know, if you made this into a movie, it'd be rated X because of the wickedness, filthiness, the vileness of that was transpiring down, consumed it upon themselves and God's people. All we want is to be entertained. Most churches don't want an old-fashioned stem wine and leather lung hellfire brimstone calling down the thunder Holy Ghost-filled preacher. They just want to be patted on the back. Are you with me? Hey, listen, this church here is the top-notch church in America, but we still need revival. We still need revival. A lot of times, you know, and we used to hear it, Brother Clear, he preaches it, and he used to preach it all the time. Many guys, the easiest place to backslide is Bible college, right in the midst of holiness. Who's with me? Because of that lustful type of desire that Satan will use to keep us. It led to their destruction. That type of attitude. And love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is what? The lust of the flesh. That's all the world is. Lust, flesh, lust, flesh, lust, flesh. You can't even hardly watch a commercial. The flesh that's promoted in those things. Oh, there was a compromise in leadership. There was a consumption of lust. And then there was a constant desire to look back. You see that in this passage of Scripture? A constant desire to look back. Now, you need to understand, looking back always leads to destruction. Always leads to destruction. Looking back, looking back, looking back. The Bible says in Luke chapter 9, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Listen, build that idol and let it take us back to Egypt. We want to go back. We want to go back. How many people do you see that grew up in a Christian home end up in Egypt? It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart when I see what young people and the struggles and the things that they're going through and the heartache that they're going through. You know what they do? They just put a little piece of tape on it. Then they try to get through it. Well, it may last for a little while, but eventually, destruction. Destruction. Because that constant desire, and looking back, You remember Lot's wife, who's with me? Look back from behind him. She became a pillar of salt. A pillar of salt. Oh, she was looking back. And who would ever in their right mind want to go back to Sodom and Gomorrah? But Lot, he got so far away from God, and that corruption he allowed in his family and his home, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And it was that destructive spirit that led to corrupt spirit that led to his destruction. Amen. I just read the Bible. You know, I read the Bible, and God speaks to my heart and says, Murphy, you got to get that corruption out of your life. It's right here in this passage. And I read it, and I examine it, and I pray, and I say, Lord, help me. And then the Lord says, now make a sermon out of it. Not a sermon. You know, you can go to college and learn how to put sermon. We're not interested in sermon. We're interested in a message. A message from God. Amen. First Baptist Church of Rosemont. You think this is all by accident? There's a reason why God, you know, 1972, 73 brought our family here to this place. 74, my mom and dad get saved. My brother gets saved. I get saved. 76, later on my sister gets saved. Now their son's evangelist traveling across. You think that's by accident? Corruption. I see the corruption everywhere. And a lot of times because that consumption of lust and that compromise in leadership and then that constant looking back to the world. Don't go back to the world. It's like a dog returning to his vomit. Amen. We cannot live in the past. Don't worry about what you may have lost, but be thankful for what you have gained. Amen. We can't look back. We can't look back at all the different things. This is the First Baptist Church of Rosemont today. Amen. And to go forward and to be used and to see the God bless this ministry in a greater and powerful way, we've got to get out the corruption that will eventually lead to destruction. You don't have to let your past write your future. Amen. I did some bad things. I know it. But I thank God it's under the blood. And I thank God called me for what reason. I have no idea, but he did it. And so I'm just going to obey God, do what God's called me to do, preach the gospel until Jesus takes us home, until I die. Amen. But oh, we're not going to make it when we allow this corruption, this pollution, this rottenness. You heard that? There was something rotten in Denmark. Rotten. Oh, we need to get that corruption out. When you get it out, it may be just a little, just starting a little bit. You know, that corrosion on your battery starts out a little bit. Eventually, it's not making contact, right? What about that? It's their corruption that led to their destruction. Lord, I pray you take the message. Help us to recognize the truth of it. I pray that you have your willing way. I pray, dear God, we'd be willing to come to this old-fashioned altar tonight and have the revival. Lord, I'm so burdened about the things that are happening today in our churches. And I pray, dear God, that you'll bless the folks here like you've already have at the First Baptist Church of Rosemont. But I pray, dear God, that every one of us will come and ask you to get that corruption out so that it won't lead to our destruction. Lord, we'll be quick to give you the honor and the glory for it.